Good morning, everybody. See, you all got your clock set right. That's good. Good to see you all here this morning. My puppy was a little surprised when I got up and got him out of bed this morning. He wasn't quite ready to face the day. But we're all here, and that's great. What a beautiful, beautiful weather we have. Sunny, bright day in the summer, and especially in the winter. That's so welcome. There are a few announcements today. We have our normal weekly activities. There is a fellowship hour after worship today. And then on Monday evening at 6:30, there'll be a Zoom meeting for the GLAD support group. Wednesday morning at 9:30, we'll be having our Wednesday morning Bible study and prayer time. At 2 o'clock, there'll be the prayer shawl ministry. Yes, this is a second or fourth, I believe so. And then the 4:15, the Good News crew will meet. 4:30, the board, all the church boards will meet. So that if you're on the church board or council this Wednesday night, at 4:30 the boards, and at 5 o'clock the council will be meeting. So make sure you put that on your calendar. The other special activities on the front cover, inside of the front cover, next Saturday at 1 p.m., you're all invited to celebrate Serene Eggie's 90th birthday, be hosted here at the church. So that will be here at 1 o'clock on next Saturday. And then Sunday, during our worship service, we will have a dedication of the new piano that we've been playing for some time now. You've heard Ruth playing. That was given to us, gifted to us by Philip Christman's. It was his piano to begin with, and it was donated by Serene Eggie after he passed. So we're going to have a special service here to dedicate that next Sunday. So I hope you'll be prepared for that. I think that's all. Are there any other announcements? Okay, let's join our hearts in prayer. Once again, O Lord, we meet together because you are worthy. Lord, if there is anyone who is worthy to get up on Sunday morning and come in here to worship and to sing praise to, it is you. You have done so much for us. Your promises to us are so extraordinary and so hopeful, that we come and worship you and thank you and praise you. I ask, Lord God, that you would teach us how to pay attention to your word and to your spirit this morning, so that we may worship you in spirit and in truth. For I ask this in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Remember this portion of the story of God, as it is written in the book that we love from 1 John 1, 5, 2-6. This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for those of the whole world. By this we know we have come to know him, if we keep his commandments. The one who says, I have come to know him, and does not keep his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, in him the love of God has truly been perfected. By this we know that we are in him. The one who says he abides in him ought himself to walk in the same manner as he walked. The word of the Lord.
We've been studying the characteristics of spiritual growth and fruitfulness in the Christian that are listed in Galatians 5, 22 to 23. And this week, the characteristic or the virtue that we're focusing on is faithfulness. These are all of these characteristics that we've been studying are characteristics of God that His Spirit reproduces in us as we grow. Now, in such a list, the word faithfulness would not carry most of its normal biblical association. It probably doesn't mean justifying faith, a faith that initiates a saving relationship with God. It probably does not mean the spiritual gift of faith, acting as God's agent and directing dramatic outbreaks of His power. It probably does not mean a spirit of trust in God's goodness and His mercies. Rather, the fruit of faithfulness probably means fidelity. Faithfulness, it means a faithful friend, someone who can be counted on, a character that is steadfast, loyal, and trustworthy in its dealings with God and with others. One on whom others may rely. That's the kind of faithfulness that I think this fruit or this characteristic refers to. Now, there are a couple of biblical characters in the Old Testament that come to mind in terms of a comparison and a contrast faithfulness, and both of them were kings of Israel. One of them, King David, was a man of strong character. And yes, he had an extraordinary failing. And both of these characters, David and Saul, were remarkable people. They were both appointed by God to be kings. They were both daring and brave. And they were willing to take risks and put their life on the line for their people. They were people who were that God blessed to lead the kingdom. They were sinners, both of them. But there was an underlying foundational character to David that Saul lacked. And faithfulness was one of the most extraordinary deficits that Saul had most of his life. King David was a man of strong character, a man God found trustworthy, steadfast, and loyal. The other, King Saul, was a man with a relatively weak character, a man who lacked integrity, moral courage, and the willingness to do what he knew was right if it wasn't convenient to his agenda or if it looked like it might threaten his well-being. Both men had enormous potential, and God showed a willingness to bless both of them and make them a blessing to Israel. Both men were sinners, to be sure, imperfect and occasionally rebellious. But King David was a man whose character most often exhibited faithfulness, and King Saul, not so much. Once King Saul, in the many stories in the Old Testament, you may remember this story, King Saul was forced to stand against a vastly superior Philistine army. He knew that he was to wait for the prophet Samuel to intercede. Samuel was going to come, and he was going to pray over the army, bless it. He was going to make sacrifices to God on the battlefield to bless the army. And what's more, Saul knew that that was Samuel's position and his call to do and not Saul's. But Saul became impatient, and he decided, because he was afraid that the army was going to leave him, that they would desert him as Samuel tarried. And so he said that he had to make the sacrifices himself. And just as Saul finished the offering, Samuel appeared asking what was going on. So if Saul had waited an additional hour, Samuel would have been present. Saul said that he feared that the army would desert him if he waited any longer. So he said, I forced myself and I offered the burnt offering. That's the literal translation. What he said is, I forced myself. That he had to force himself reveals that he knew that it was not his place to act the way he did. But it seemed expedient. And so he put expedience over faithfulness. After all, the important thing in Paul's and Saul's mind was that the army remained intact so that they could defeat the Philistines and protect Israel. But of course, the truth was that the army that Saul commanded was mostly a rabble of peasants armed with farm implements. And if every man jack of them stayed to fight, it would still be a miracle if they beat the Philistines. Prayers, sacrifices, and religious window dressings don't impress God as much as someone he can count on to do what he has asked him to do, even if that obedience requires courage and risk, even if it seems unwise and unpractical. If we know it to be God's will, it's our job to be faithful. Saul had a habit of being obedient right up to crunch time. And then he trusted to himself and his own judgment, and he acted with arrogance. And when confronted, he made excuses for his actions by blaming others. These bad habits of the soul showed Paul to be a very weak man. And what's more, they prevented him from becoming a strong one. King David, on the other hand, had a whole different attitude about things. He was absolutely reckless and irrational once he knew what God's heart was in a matter. From calling out and defeating the giant Goliath because God had put it on his heart to do so, to the rescue of the village of Keilah, to dancing wildly. Remember that story about David dancing as they brought the Ark of Covenant back into Jerusalem from its captivity? From dancing wildly and half naked before the Ark of the Covenant as it was being brought back into Jerusalem, David demonstrated over and over again that when God said, jump, he would laugh with joy and beg God to give him the strength to vault over the moon. And David was no flash in the pan either. From the day that he was anointed in the field as a shepherd, and as still just barely more than a child, is anointed by Samuel to take Saul's place, to the day he actually assumed the throne of Israel, years and maybe decades passed. David was steadfastly loyal and trustworthy to God and even to Saul, whenever Saul would allow it. His heart exemplified faithfulness all through the hard years of running and hiding from Saul and living as a mercenary to the neighboring pagan kings. David sinned, to be sure. To our eyes, his sin was at least as much, and frankly, more than Saul's sin. But David, unlike Saul, trained himself to be a man of wholehearted faithfulness. And when he was confronted and shown where he couldn't hide what he had done and who it had hurt, David's wholehearted faithfulness to God and to his friends and to his men had trained him to make no excuses for what he had done. He did not blame others and try to hide behind them. Instead, he confessed his sin, he earnestly sought forgiveness, and he begged to be transformed, to be changed, not just excused, but made new. This is faithfulness. This is what the spiritual gift of faithfulness or characteristic of faithfulness is all about. The fruit of faithfulness is nurtured by following David's example, which is summed up in our scripture reading from today from 1 John. The Apostle John tells us that God is light. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we are constantly developing, making excuses for things and explaining ourselves and giving ourselves excuses for why we're an exception and our circumstances are exceptional. If we are always playing the light, we'll come into the light when it suits us and talk about our righteousness and brag about it, but when it doesn't suit us, we'll hide in the shadows and do what we decide we want to do. Saul liked to hang out in the shadows to try to make God happy and yet still get what he felt was best. If he was caught, he'd quick face the light and act like he had been misunderstood, misled, or forced into his actions by others. David practiced the truth. He didn't pretend it. He didn't use the truth. Some people use the truth to justify actions. David sought the truth to guide his actions. David sought the truth and he desired its insight. And in Psalm 119, 30 to verse 32, David passionately cries out, "I have chosen the way of faithfulness. I set your rules before my eyes. I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Let me not be put to shame. I will run in the way of your commandments when you enlarge my heart." Both Saul and David were men of daring. But David's daring was placed at God's service, first and foremost. And that was a concern that ran all except that one time. Saul made pretensions of serving God, but it was clearly as a tool to gain what he wanted for his purposes. 1 John 2:1 says, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." The Apostle John doesn't say, "Well, you're a sinner, so just seek God's grace and try to make the best of it." He says, "Work at not sinning. Choose a different path. If there's something that you know about God that instructs you on how you are to act next, take the risks. Take the unknown path and expect God to guide you. Put yourself at risk and do what pleases God and see what happens." John teaches and encourages us not to sin, but when we do sin, and John says that we deceive ourselves if we say that we don't, when we do sin, Jesus is our advocate, and we can trust his judgment and love, and we can look forward to being changed. In chapter 1, verse 9 of today's reading, John tells us if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleansing, like cleansing a wound, and cleaning of infection and debris. Cleansing, like the healing of a disfiguring disease, the healing of that disease that is killing us. Cleansing that in God's hands breaks prison chains of sin and evil and restores our dignity and takes away our shame. Again, David's example teaches us that faithfulness is not a matter of sinless perfection. That's out of reach. But our failures to be loyal, trustworthy, friends to our spouses, our families, and our Savior have to be faced like David faced his, with honest and open confession and a sincere desire to be transformed, to be made stronger, to be made new and clean, and not just excused. Spiritual disciplines that yield faithfulness, again, found in today's readings. And I'll close with these, and they're just three insights here. First, walk in the light. We're commanded to walk in the light. We mustn't skulk about in the shadows. Skulking about is the kind of thing that's always looking for a way to justify what we want to do. Walking in the light is about learning what God would have us to do. What is He like? What does His righteousness and His personality reveal to us about what He thinks is important and how we can join Him in that? We must not be like Saul, trying to use the light and the dark whenever they suit our convenience and purpose. Like David, we need to be wholehearted to sell out our souls to the one who loves our soul, to walk in the light. Chapter 2, verse 5 of 1 John says, pray that the love of God would be perfected in us. It's interesting that John doesn't call us to moral perfection. He doesn't call us to leadership skills. He doesn't call us to theological sophistication. We are keeping God's word and doing it correctly and faithfully when doing so makes His love apparent. When His love is apparent in our lives, in the relationships that we have, in the dealings we have in our community, in our attitude towards ourselves. When God's love is apparent in us, when our actions open doors and windows in our soul that God's love pours through. And finally, when our Christian walk insists on maintaining fellowship with each other as Christ, as with Christ, we are learning what faithfulness is about. We're deluding ourselves to say that we can be faithful to God without learning how to be faithful to one another. And faithful begins with just showing up. There's a tremendous amount of power that comes when you show up on Sunday morning to worship or at other events that support people in this congregation or in this community. When you come and join in, you are giving one of the most precious commodities you have to give, your time, your energy. And that showing up is powerful. You cannot say that you are faithful to God and that you love God if you haven't learned how to share that with your brothers and sisters in Christ. Fellowship is a package deal. If we are not in fellowship with each other as believers, we are not in fellowship with Christ, and vice versa. So let's walk in the light. Faithfulness is a virtue that has almost immediate dividends. It does cost something. There is risk involved like every virtue. But it's the sort of thing that other people recognize pretty quickly. And if you are recognized as somebody who is dependable, whose friendship means something, you will stick with another person. That makes you valuable. It's a virtue that's worth, that gives rewards almost immediately. Walk in the light, love your God, be faithful to one another. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would teach us this virtue in particular. It is our faithfulness to one another that you use to get us through difficult times like this whole search process. We ask, Lord God, again, that you would help us to be faithful to one another as well as to you, and to, in that way, give your Spirit free rein to work in us and through us. For I ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, To whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace.